Hey, everybody. This is the Voice of My Beloved podcast. Welcome. I'm here with Aaron Hood, and we're going to dive into a little bit of story. He just got back from Florida, and he's got a verse on his heart. So take it away, Aaron.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking it's been a while since you hosted me.
You've just been busy.
This has been, or that, you know, it's just, even when we do it together, I'm normally the one hosting you, which it's not really all that different, except that you just start and then, you know, you finish, you know?
Right.
But it's great. I had a great trip. Man, Passover's coming up. The discipleship program is going on in full force. And, I just feel such a burden, or I feel a weight, that God's really on the cusp of doing something, for us. The trip down was, it's refreshing. I would encourage all of our listeners to get out of your bubble.
Yes.
Just a little bit. You know, I mean, we are big proponents of fellowship and community and local grassroots, right? Buy local, shop local, fellowship local, right? We're big people like that, right? We grow our own food, for heaven's sake, you know? And, but the chance that I had to go down there was really spontaneous, and I'm not normally a spontaneous guy.
Did I hear this correctly? You and Victoria have only spent 2 nights away from each other in your whole marriage?
Until today. Yeah. Or until this trip here, almost 11 years, not spent more than 2 nights apart. And then we spent 2 nights back to back.
That's pretty amazing.
When I got back, I told her, let's wait another 10 years to do that. she was totally on board. My boys, you know, they need a father's hand. And so, she was missing me, and I missed them too. You know, going to a family retreat, it was tough, you know, not to have the boys. And I honestly didn't know what to do with myself. I mean, I was like on the verge of like picking up other people's kids and being like, hey, how are you? And they're like, oh, I don't know this person. to fill that void in my life. But, it was super powerful. And the reason I encourage you is because sometimes we can, or I'm going to say, we will for sure, without reaching out or without having some sort of a connection outside of our own sphere, we will begin to believe that what we are doing is the only thing that God's doing on the earth. We can come to believe that that's all that God's doing. We become so wrapped up in how the Father's using us, we miss the greater, the body of Christ that God is moving in all over the globe. And it's all different flavors and different perspectives. And so I went down to the Above Ruby's retreat down in Laguna Beach, Florida. And Colin and Nancy, you know, we've had them up here, beautiful souls, and just still on fire for the Lord. He was jumping up and down just like he always has at 84 years old. Such enthusiasm for the Lord. I mean, it's just contagious. And this group, a lot of them are from around Tennessee and are Above Ruby's group, and that enthusiasm really speaks to me. It really speaks to my heart. I want my sons to have that same enthusiasm for the Lord, and not to be caught up in the variances or the nuances of doctrine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we've been going through Romans 12, and Paul says, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes we can get bogged down in the nuances of theology and kind of miss that we need to be fervent in spirit.
Right. There's just there's different ways, you know, we have, you know, just applying this to spirituality, but the love languages, right? That God, you know, we express towards God in service and in worship, you know, Mary and Martha, the differences, right? We've talked a lot about those kind of things. And so I was able to go down and see a lot of people coming from all over. I mean, some of these folks drove from 24, 30 something hours. It reminded me a lot of the family weeks at Kentucky Lake, where people would just come and they wanted to have a good time and be together with family. And there was a fervency there. There was a real fervency. And I was ready to, you know, I came, my purpose in going was, you know, connect people with what we're doing here. You know, I still believe that God's given us a calling to call people to purity and holiness. And it turns out that their first breakout session was about pornography and being set free, and purity and holiness and relationships and exposing the darkness in that way. Great. And it was powerful, you know, and I didn't even necessarily get to share or even need to share. I mean, they really hit on it. And but I was able to share with some quite a few and make a lot of good connections with families. And it was powerful. It was a powerful time. And on my way back, as I was coming through the airport and I was talking with different people, I had one guy. Yeah, I was kind of a little bit disappointed. You know, I was sitting right next to him, and he's working on his computer. You know, everybody's got their faces glued to their screens. I mean, it's pathetic, you know, how few people know what's going on around them, or just the lack of interaction, human interaction with so many people around you.
Right.
But he stops at one moment and he looks over at me and says, "So you're a pastor?" And I was like, "Yes, I am." You know, I didn't want to like go into all the intricacies of really all that I do, but as a pastor of sorts, I said, "Yeah, I'm a pastor." And I was like, how'd you know that? And he said, "Well, you were just, you know, talking on the phone and said something about a worship set." So I figured, I was like, "Oh man, I thought you were going to tell me like it was my countenance. Like you saw a radiance." And he was like, "Oh, that's what, yeah, that's right. That's what it was." And so I had a great talk with this guy. And then I talked to another lady about France. She is moving back from France, and she described France as a spiritual wilderness. Mm. She just said that she feels like everyone there has spiritually given up the fight for that territory, for that area, and it's just wholly given over. And I said, "Well, that's depressing, you know." I mean, there's a, hey, we're losing the fight, but we're still fighting. And I think that's where America is at. You know, there's a lot of people in this country that are still fighting. A positive thing on the news is that there was a push to recognize the Palestinian state. I don't know if you know this, and the United States vetoed it.
Yeah, saw that.
Vetoed it, and so that's positive. You know, as much as we're pushing, there is this recognition that we can't do that, or for them that might have been not the time. But anyway, God's purpose was to strike that down. So God's still got a plan for this nation, I think.
Yeah. While you're on that, I just want to jump in.
Yeah.
Mike Johnson, keep him in prayer. He's putting a bill before the House tomorrow, actually, to send aid to Israel to help them beef up their Iron Dome system.
Yes.
And so America needs to be behind that. I mean, we saw with this latest attack that was a key,
yes,
to their survival, right? That they had that defense system.
Oh, man.
To take out all those rockets that came from Iran.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, you know. I saw videos, Israelis, they're running outside and they're watching it like it's just the greatest fireworks show of their life. You know, like, I heard, saw this one guy, "Af pam lo ra'iti hazeh, af pam chai." You know, he's like, "I've never seen this in my life," you know, in Hebrew. And I'm like, get in a bunker. You know, there's rockets in the sky.
Only,
you know?
In Israel.
Only in Israel. These guys, they got the mighty hand of God upon them. But so it's so fascinating. And as I was coming back and I was having these conversations, and I was reading in Ephesians chapter 1, and this verse that we've talked about, and Braden's got a little ditty to it. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world." For what purpose?
To be holy and without blame before him in love.
To be holy and without blame before him in love. And that, I mean, it's our mission, right? It's the thing that is in our hearts to do. And so it's kind of obvious that I'm going to see it everywhere in scripture, right? But I want you guys to see it everywhere in scripture too, to be encouraged to know that God chose you from the foundations of the world. We've been listening to a guy, Alan Hood. He's had a teaching on 139. What was his
name? Psalm 139, yeah.
Yeah.
Known by God.
Known by God. Really good. I mean, and just talking over and over again, just repeating the important, putting emphasis on how God has known us and his love, and he never uses that knowledge against us. Mm. And how that should bring such safety and drive out all fear, you know, and all of these things. But this aspect that this is pointing at is that from the foundations of the world, he chose us to be holy before him and blameless. I mean, like without blame, like pure and spot. We see this kind of language, you know, in a couple places, and it's a little intimidating. And as I was sharing with this lady from France, I said, you know, Braden and I, we're both on the, you can be holy. We're on the "you can be holy" train by the grace of God, right? It's not of anything that we can do of ourselves. It's by the grace of God, but we can be overcomers.
Right?
We can be by God's grace. We must endeavor to our utmost, my utmost for his highest, right? That's, are we given our utmost? Are we giving him all that we have, all that we possess? Are we fighting tooth and nail for to keep our garments clean? And so as I was down there, and they have issues, you know, we have issues, and I don't think they would deny that. And we are not going to deny that here at Love and Purity, we run into things, you know, relationally. But the fervency, I think, is a beautiful thing. And obviously, you know, if that fervency carries you directly against the law of God, then that fervency no longer is a plus for you, right? We can't be just excited all the way to hell, right? We've got to have knowledge, and there is so, it's so important for us to have sound doctrine, right? So I'm balancing out what I'm saying here is that we must have sound doctrine, but I'm telling you right now that this holiness is sound doctrine. Mm-hmm. And if we can have happy holiness,
right?
If we can have happy holiness, then God will get all of the glory. Because that's impossible for us to do on ourselves. Either we're going to be depressed, or either we're going to be, yeah. I mean, either way, we live for ourselves and we're depressed, or we live for the devil and we're depressed. So we don't experience joy anywhere outside of a life with purpose in Christ. And it's for his glory. From the very beginning, this is something that, as we talk about, you know, why were we created? You know, people are trying to deny that God ever existed and just say that we were an accident, right? That's the liberals' take on things. But people, they just can't function. We just can't function without an agenda to our lives.
Right.
What purpose is there in life? That's a depressing thought. And I'm not meaning to depress you, because mostly, hopefully, all of you are being infilled with the hope that is in Christ. But there's a lot of hopeless people out there. And that's another reason why we got to get out of our bubbles. We got to get out of our bubbles. Go and make disciples to all men. I want to confess something a little bit here. You know, on the airplane, on the way here, I was watching a little bit of Chosen, you know, and I'm not advocating for watching Chosen. There was a lot of worse things on the airplane that, you know, that were trying to catch my attention. And so Chosen was my my distraction. But I just found myself just so soft as I was relating to seeing the apostles, the miracles that were performing under their hands when Yeshua, Jesus, first sent them out. And I was just watching, and I believe that happened. I believe. And so it softens my heart to know that this is where we're supposed to be, and this is what the Lord wants. And I'm the lacking part. I'm the lacking part. I'm missing something. There's a lack in me that's keeping me from being able to walk in that fulfillment, right? Mm-hmm. God doesn't lack. Mm-hmm. His truth doesn't lack. If there's a lack, it's in me. And my heart was softened, partly because I want that. I want to experience the deeper things of God. And I think that everybody that is pursuing holiness, let it not be for goodness sake in of itself, but let it be for the glory of God. And may we find help from his sanctuary all the way. We need help from the sanctuary, and he will redeem us day by day, for today is the day of salvation. So be encouraged. Get out of your bubble. Step out and see what God is doing right outside, just on the outside of where our sphere of influence is. Be prepared to go out where you're not known. Your name doesn't stand out. And in that realm, look for God and how he's using someone else, and be ready to admit God's doing powerful things across the globe.
Yeah.
So that would be my encouragement.
Amen. So good. Just want to kind of touch back on something from Psalm 139. Aaron mentioned Alan Hood. He said something I thought was really good. He, you know, David is, you know, writing Psalm 139. He's talking about God, search me, know me. He opens up, he says, God, he's recognizing God searches him, knows him. And then he ends it and says, search me and try, you know, see if there's any wicked way in me. He's like recognizing that God is doing it, but then he invites him to do it further, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I never had right. quite noticed that. But it's interesting. You look at it, that last section there in Psalm 139, he says, oh, that you would slay the wicked. And he was making a parallel there that it's, you know, that the slay the wicked, it could be just in reference to the external forces of darkness. God, would you please take out all the external things that are keeping me from you, the external wickedness. But then he turns inward and, you know, search me, see if there's any wicked way inside of me. And actually, I was noticing the Hebrew word there is otsev, which is the same word as pain. Etsev, like in the prayer of Jabez, it says, you know, that you would keep me from causing pain, something like that. It's the same exact word as what's translated as wicked there at the end of Psalm 139. And so you could translate it, you know, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, see if there's any, try me, know my anxiety, see if there's any painful way in me.
Mm.
So it got me thinking about just how sin or wickedness causes pain, you know, and kind of to your point, it's not that we're, you know, holiness is not a ripoff in a sense that, you know, we just have to bide our time living a holy life,
right?
Bite, you know, just what do they say? Bite the nail,
bite the bullet,
bite the bullet. Yeah. And just be like,
live a life of selfless devotion, right. You know,
and then, you know, finally you die and experience the glory. Right. It's not that, it's that, you know, as we experience God in the now, then it's so worth it even now.
Yeah.
It's not, we're not just waiting for a future. It's going to be amazing, future glory. But just that Psalm 139, oh, that you would slay the wicked. He was talking about the external things that are keeping me from God and then turning inward. So as we approach Passover, that's my encouragement, is just that, you know, there are external things. Maybe it's, you know, the way that we relate to media, the way that we relate to
one another.
There's external things. God, please, just would you, I'm talking about a spiritual sense, you know, God, would you slay any wickedness in my life? Would you, you know, there's like an aggression there.
Yeah.
Would you please take out these wicked things that would want to try to distract me from a devotion to you? And then turning inward and going, search me, search my heart, see if there's any painful way in me. And not just causing pain to myself, but causing pain to others.
Others, yeah.
You know, there's a sense there of, you know, there's things in our hearts that so the way we talk, the way we act, but we can, if we're giving in to sin, then we're going to cause pain in people's lives. And so just to, I want to leave you with that as we go into Passover, that God would search our hearts and that we would be found, you know, as David says, lead me in the way everlasting. There's a way that leads to everlasting life.
Yeah. I want to say, you know, I was going down there, you know, the Lord was speaking to me saying, you know, there's a lot of things that we would love to do, you know, with, you know, the turmoil in Israel, the turmoil around us, you know, we could feel like, oh, I need to be in Israel, or I need to be in DC, or I need to be doing these things. You know, we can't change other people, but we can allow God to change our hearts, right? Let it start. Judgment starts at the house of God. Mm-hmm. Let us, this Passover, allow God to remove the leaven from our hearts enough to where we can be vessels ready to do the will of the master in this coming year.
Yes.
Yeah. So powerful, good stuff. And yeah.
Blameless.
Holy.
Blameless, holy and blameless, chosen before the foundation of the world. Wow. May we walk in that. May we walk in that, even that realization that God desires us to be holy and without blame before him in love. It's a powerful calling. God bless all of you out there. This is the Voice of My Beloved podcast, where we believe that hearing and following the voice of the Bridegroom King leads to the most abundant and joy-filled life.
Shalom.